The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. Another fantastic day of racing with day two of the Grand National meeting at Aintree. Three grade ones on their card. There's also a couple of grade twos, a grade three handicap and the Topham Chase, which is over the national fences. So really good day to look forward to at Aintree. We've got Fontwell and Leicester alongside that in the afternoon. Wexford and Wolverhampton in the evening. And Ross Briley, Andy Holding and Mick Norton will be live from 1:20pm. Right now, my name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Greg?
Yeah, I'm grand, thanks, Mark. Sun is shining. Beautiful. Beautiful outside.
It is. Sun shining. Good racing at Aintree. The Grand National round the corner. Well, in a day's time, pretty much. So, good time to watch the racing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You know, and you know, straight away next week leads on to the Craven meeting. So, we'll be quickly switching back to the flat. But, the National on Saturday, the big race of the National Hunt calendar, if you listen to Darren Owen. You know, this is the race.
If you listen to Darren Owen, it's the big thing in the whole world. It's just the event of the history of mankind, if you listen to Darren Owen.
You'd be wanting to have it midweek and have a bank holiday for it, wouldn't you?
would.
If he was in charge.
The final declarations are out for the Grand National, Craig. Not too much change in the betting. Shut the Front Door 7-1, Balthazar King and Rocky Creek both 9s. 12s for the Druid's Nephew, 16s for Cause of Causes. Alvarado and Solo both 20s. It's 22 to 1 or bigger prices for the others. We touched on this yesterday, Craig, but for anybody who didn't listen to the podcast, What did you go for in the Grand National?
Rocky Creek.
And has your mind changed?
No, I'm just going to stick with them, Mark, and stick in a couple of other positives. That Kempton performance still sticks out, carrying a big weight on that occasion off a mark of 154. He is officially well in here. And, of course, he ran so well in the race last year, finishing fifth. So, a year older this time around. I think he'll definitely go well. Will Rocky Creek, and a positive for Knight and Milan. You know, I think the ground will be absolutely perfect for him. James can hopefully get him jumping, switch him off early, and allow him to come home. I think he's the right type of horse, what you want for a national, and he'd be a positive as well, Knight and Milan. But I won't be getting involved betting in the race, but I will be cheering on the Druid's Nephew for connections. I hope he does them proud. And after a brave Cheltenham win, he should go well because he's another one that's ahead of the handicapper at the moment.
Yeah, I think he's got a good chance. But that comes up on Saturday. Fantastic race to look forward to there, obviously. But we've got some pretty decent racing coming up on Friday as well, Craig. We've got your thoughts coming up in four races, starting in the 250, which is the Mildmaid Novices Chase, a grade one over 3 miles and 1 furlong. Interesting one here is obviously Safé de Ruhu, who went chasing, won a race over fences but struggled largely, then went back over hurdles, finished second in the world hurdle last time we saw him, and now goes back over fences.
Yeah, he's still only a six-year-old as well. He's got potential to do much better than what we've seen of him already over fences. You know, he started off when on Sydney's Rider back in November behind Connie Greeb, but he quickly put that right at Exeter. A very impressive performance out there in a race that's worked out particularly well. And then, you know, back at Kempton on Boxing Day, again, he came to grief and fell at the seventh on that occasion. They quickly aborted plans for chasing back to hurdling. Very, very impressive at Cheltenham in the Cleeve hurdle when he battled bravely to see off Rev de Savola on that occasion. He only got the better of him by a neck, but it was the way he battled back that was impressive. And he ran his heart out, didn't he? It was a real good performance in this day. So it probably, you know, wasn't a brilliant stairs hurdle, but you know, the time of the race still stands up fairly well, and he's got potential to be better, I think, than most of his rivals, but going back over fences.
He's likely to be market leader as well, isn't he? So do you side with him, or is there something in there that you can
get? I think he's the class act. You know, if this were a handicap mark, he'd be given lots of weight away. He's the one they all have to beat. There's horses in here with potential that are still on the up. You know, Carrick Moore got back on track at Exeter last time. But I get the impression that, you know, although in his early days he looked like an out-and-out galloper, an out-and-out stayer, I get the impression he's probably going to end up best just short of 3 miles, because he showed quite a bit of speed at exit last time over two, three and a half. And, you know, I think he's probably best kept away from 3 miles for now. Carroll's Destroyer, a horse I really like, you know, really tries, can get outpaced, but is on the up, rated 152. And, of course, David Pipe's likeable horse, NC Fidels, who has been in terrific form, hasn't beaten an awful lot, but deserves to take his chance in this company. But at Sapphire de Roer, he's the class act. He's the one they all have to beat. He's the one they have to aim at. Set a fair standard.
Sapphire de Roer then for Craig in the 250. The 325 is where we're going next, the Melling Chase, which is a grade one over 2.5 miles. We do have betting on site for this at the moment as well. The rest will be added later. Champagne Fever 11-4, 4-1 for Don Cossack. Alpha Roth is 9-2, 7-1 for Ball Success Q Card, and Cider Grugian 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. A cracking race to look forward to, Craig.
It is, Mark. You know, it's a really good renewal of this race, and you know, my first thoughts were, you know, there's not many you can rule out, which for me makes Champagne Fever on the short side at 11-4. Now, he's a horse I like. You know, I was wanting to be with him all the way to Cheltenham until he had that setback travelling over. But at 11-4 in such a strong contest, I think he's on the short side, and I don't think there's any value there at all. You know, I think it's a really strong race.
Okay, so you take on Champagne Fever. What do you go for?
Yeah, I think probably the most interesting one is Don Cossack. That Ryanair form looks really solid. The time of the race was superb. Hugh Xandra, we know how good he was. He just kept galloping all the way on that occasion. And Don Cossack made a mess of the last, didn't he, when he was staying on again. I don't think coming back in triple caused too much of a problem. I'm hoping Mayfield, you know, Frank's the form on the opening day of entry,
yeah,
to give another positive towards Don Cossack's chances. And the positive thing for me was he jumped, you know, apart from that mistake in the last where he got crowded, he jumped really well in a more competitive and a bigger field than he was used to racing in Ireland. You know, he was used to going right-handed in small fields and dominating. It was a totally different ball game at Cheltenham for him. Big field, going left-handed, and he jumped really well. I think he's got to be worth a chance in this contest, and I think he's a terrific horse, so he would be the one I would side with.
Okay, plenty of other interesting ones in there, Craig. One that we haven't really talked about as well. We've got likes of Alpha Roth, and Q Card makes his return here. You've got Cider Grugier, if he turns up the same animal as we know he can be. It really is strength in depth in this race, isn't it?
It is. You know, Al Feroff, Stephen was speaking to the owners at the evening on Monday or Tuesday night, and John Hales reported that Al Feroff has never been in better form than he is at the moment at home. So he comes here a fresh horse. We haven't seen him since he finished third in the King George on Boxing Day. So, yeah, he's another one to consider. Balder Success obviously has to put that below par run at Cheltenham behind him. But as we know, you know, Cheltenham hasn't brought out the best in him. Q Card, another one that comes here fresh, been off since Boxing Day, had a setback prior to Cheltenham. The one thing that's held him back this year is he's jumping. He hasn't been anywhere near as good over his fences as he was last year, but he's a massive runner if back to his best, and he jumps a little bit cleaner than we've seen so far. So, you know, Sire de Grugy, the last one to touch on, needs to prove his stamina coming up in trip. And I think he'd probably be better with a little bit more cut in the ground, Sire de Grugy. You know, I think Gary Moore was complaining that the ground was a little on the far side of Cheltenham. And with the weather the way it is, it certainly isn't going to get any softer between now and the time of 3:25, the off time for this race on Friday. So, you know, I'd be against them on the ground. So it's a cracking race. It really is. You know, it's hard to get seriously involved betting-wise, but I would just side with Don Cossack for Gordon Elliott and AP McCoy based on that cracking run in the Ryanair. You know, the figures are solid. I'm hoping the race and the form starts to work out. Although not as good 12 months ago, the Ryanair still produced real good figures, and it didn't really work out as I expected. I backed Rajani Express several times on the back of a solid run in the Ryanair. So I'm hoping this year's renewal does work out, Mark.
Okay. Moving on to the 405 next, which is the Topham Chaser Grade 3 handicap on the national course. It's over the extended 2 miles and 5 furlongs, and 9-1 co-favourites of 3 with Monetaire, Rajdhani Express, who you just mentioned, and Ruben Cotter at the top of the market. 11-1 for Eastlake, Benny's Mist and Dana are both 14-1. It's 20s for Art of Logistics, Bless the Wings, Hunt Ball and Montoya Sun and Pool Master, and a whole host of others, in fact. So we'll say 20-1 barring those. It's again, an interesting race. It's always a great spectacle to watch them over the national fences. You could probably stake a case for a lot of these, Craig. 30 of them to pick from. Which one do you go for?
Yeah, I'll go with a pick. Festive Affair. Was he amongst the 20-1 bar there, Mark? I didn't hear his name called out.
Festive Affair is 25s.
25s. Yeah. Pony. Yeah, lovely. Been waiting all season on this horse stepping up to 2.5 miles. You know, ever since he ran last year in the Novice Handicap Chase at the Festival, behind Present View in 2014, you know, he just shaped like he wants a minimum of 2.5 miles. He started this season at the November meeting at Cheltenham. He was pulled up behind Bold Henry on that occasion. He was out the back early and didn't jump as well as you would expect, and eventually pulled up again. Next time, kept the 2 miles at Sandown. And then after a couple of months' break, he reappeared in the Grand Annual. And I thought he was probably worth a chance at a big price in that, because a fast run 2 miles, you know, he may have gotten away with it. But on that occasion, he was doing his best work at the finish once again. He was beating 23 lengths behind Next Sensation on that occasion. But with that run behind him, handicap, you know, he was of interest at the start of the year on 134. He's now on 127, and he runs over what will be his optimum trip for the first time this season. I think he's a real good each-way bet in this year's Topham Festive Affair. Sneaks in nicely at the weight,
yeah,
as well.
Nicely weighted, yeah. Who would you be most worried about then? That's your selection.
Yeah, you know, we've got to go back to old Rajdhani Express, don't we? A horse that ran so well in the 2014 Ryanair Chase. I backed him as a result. I had a real good bet on him in the Mellon Chase here 12 months ago when he was disappointing behind Boston Bob. He reappeared in the old Roan Chase back at Aintree again. And again, I was very keen on him. He unseated his rider. It was the last chance saloon at Ascot where he disappointed. And I'm afraid I've had to let him go since then. And he hasn't been in the best of shape in his three runs after the disappointment at Ascot. But the handicap has relented. 1-5-2, Sam Whaley-Cohen in the saddle. And he's got a great record over these fences. I fear him, Mark. I know he's got a big one in him, particularly from a sliding mark. So I would see him as the biggest danger.
Would you have a save on him just in case?
I'm going to talk myself into it, aren't I? I just know I'm going to talk myself into a small bet. I did give up on him back in November at Ascot, but off 1-5-2 in a race that you think would suit the way he runs at this trip, then... yeah, I would probably have a small saver because I just couldn't bear to watch if he jumps the last in front and goes on to win.
Yeah, I imagine, yes. A couple against the field, then we'll let you have two in that one, seeing as there are 30 runners. And the 440 is where we finish. This is the Sefton Novices Hurdle, a grade one over the extended 3 miles. We've got 17 of them in the lineup here, Craig. And again, it's wide open, competitive stuff. Plenty of nice horses in here.
Yeah, I think the one that sets a standard for me is Vita de Rock, who finished fourth in the Neptune at Cheltenham behind Windsor Park. And he would have finished second if he had jumped the last. He made an absolute hash of the last on that occasion. And bar that mistake, he would have been a decent second to Windsor Rock. But looking back at previous winners of this race and previous horses that have ran in the Neptune, and they don't have a terrific record, Mark, which is of concern. The horse is stepping up and trip. And if anything, Vita de Rock looks like he'll improve going up to this 3 mile trip. But that does worry me. He clearly is the one to beat. He sets the benchmark, and he could take a lot of beating if he puts his best foot forward. But that that hard race in the Neptune is a little bit of a concern. So I'm going to take a chance with a horse here at a decent price. Well, he should be a decent price each way. It's Thistlecrack. He really impressed at Ascot on his penultimate run back in mid-February, where he was given a lot to do by Ruby Walsh on that occasion. Just the way he races, I think, you know, 2 miles... is on the short side for him, basically. And the fact that he showed the speed to come through the field and beat St. Charles, who had travelled really well in that race, and doing his best work at the finish, absolutely sprinting clear to win by 3.5 lengths on that occasion. He then went into the Imperial Cup at Sandown, and for an inexperienced horse in the way he races, he was set a very difficult task. Yeah, he's only got an official mark of 1.35 and he was in there off 10.11, but again, a 2 mile handicap hurdle at this stage of his career with 23 runners was all just a little bit too much for him. He found it on the sharp side once again, and as you would expect, he was doing his best work late on that occasion. He gets the chance to step up here in trip to 3 miles. It is a big jump from 2 to 3, but looking at his pedigree and the way he races, I think this is going to be the making of Thistle Crack. And although he's only rated 1.35, you've got to remember he's been handicapped on 4 runs. 3 of those have been at 2 miles. The other has been at 2.5 at Cheltenham. So he could possibly be way better than the official handicapper rates him at the moment of 1.35. So I think he'll be a big price, and I think he's worth chancing each way, stepping up and trip, which is more in line with his pedigree.
Well, Mara, I want to get your thoughts on in there, Craig. Wada Frank, who was very well backed at Cheltenham, finished third behind a stablemate in the end. Ruby Walsh takes over this afternoon. It's an interesting one, isn't it, the amount of money that came from at Cheltenham?
Yeah, Andy Holden, I think, made him one of his best bets of the festival, and he ran well, didn't he? He wasn't disgraced behind his stable companion, Kultorvik, on that occasion. And I think he's another one that should really appreciate the step up and trip. You know, he went into that Cheltenham race rated 1.39. The handicap has put him up 5 to 1.44. So, you know, officially, he thinks he's a £9 better horse than Thistlecrack. But, you know, he's had chances at trips just short of 3 miles, where Thistlecrack has done most of his running at 2 and hasn't had a chance to show what he's capable of at this trip. So, yeah, I think he's a big runner, and he's one you have to respect. And I think, you know, that extra couple of furlongs will definitely also be in his favour.
But taking a chance on one at a big price in Thistlecrack.
Yeah, I think Thistlecrack, other one to mention down the bottom, horse comes here fresh after missing Cheltenham. A horse I like, 0 Shades of Grey, you know, ran really well. At Doncaster, got involved that day in a battle a long way out with Black Lion, and paid the price for that. And Karachi Apache came late and done them both in the dying strides of that race. He missed Cheltenham. He comes here after a 76-day break, a fresh horse. He travels really well in these races, flat track, good ground, all in his favour here. You know, he's another one that should run his race at a fairly decent price.
Okay, let's have a quick summary then, Craig, if you don't mind, if you'll spin us through your selections for entry one more time.
Yeah, 2.50, I think Sapphire de Ruhr, definitely the one to beat in that novice chase. 3.25, we're going to go with Don Cossack after such a big run in the Ryanair at Cheltenham. In the 4.05, Festive Affair could be the best bet on the card on Friday, stepping up to 2.5 miles for the first time. And finally, in the 4.40 at Ascot, we're going to go with Thistlecrack each way for Colin Tizzard and Tom Scudamore.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Craig. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Craig Forsyth on Friday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. with Ross Brierley, Andy Holding and Mick Norton in the studio. Fantastic day to look forward to on day two of the Grand National meeting at Aintree. We've also got Fontwell and Leicester in the afternoon, and we finish with Wexford and Wolverhampton. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.